Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today is Friday, October 6, 2017. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 154, starting with the fourth paragraph, reading and commenting on three paragraphs. Today's readers are Helen B. for the 12 Steps, Amanda R. for the 12 Traditions, Penny L.C., Janice B., and Rocky I. The reference number for the 10 a.m. meeting yesterday, Thursday, October 5th, is 10507. That's 10,507. The reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. meeting, Friday, October 6th, is 10510. That's 10,510. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Helen B. to read the 12 steps. Helen, please press star 1 to unmute.
Hi, this is Helen B. Thank you. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having a spiritual awakening as a result of working these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Helen B. I will now ask Amanda R. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Amanda R. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maine, and here are the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks. I pass.
Thank you, Amanda R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we will resume our study of the Big Book on page 154, starting with paragraph 4, but what about his responsibilities? We'll read through three paragraphs, ending with, he would do anything he said but that. I will ask Penny L.C. to please begin reading.
Good morning, Elaine, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. But what about his responsibilities, his family, and the men who would die because they would not know how to get well? Ah, yes, those other alcoholics. There must be many such in this town. He would phone a clergyman. His sanity returned, and he thanked God. Selecting a church at random from the directory, he stepped into a booth and lifted the receiver. His call to the clergyman led him presently to a certain resident of the town, who, though formerly able and respected, was then nearing the nadir of alcoholic despair. It was the usual situation: home in jeopardy, wife ill, children distracted, bills in arrears, and standing damaged. He had a desperate desire to stop, but saw no way out, for he had earnestly tried many avenues of escape. Painfully aware of being somehow abnormal, the man did not fully realize what it meant to be alcoholic. When our friend related his experience, the man agreed that no amount of willpower he might muster could stop his drinking for long. A spiritual experience, he conceded, was absolutely necessary. But the price seemed high upon the basis suggested. He told how he lived in constant worry about those who might find out about his alcoholism. He had, of course, the familiar alcoholic obsession that few knew of. He had the familiar alcoholic obsession that few knew about his drinking. Why, he argued, should he lose the remainder of his business only to bring still more suffering to his family by foolishly admitting his plight to people from whom he made his livelihood? He would do anything but that. Anything, he said, but that. And so here stands Bill, and he's in the lobby, and he realizes he's got a choice. And thanks to God, thanks to Bill's choice, thanks thanks to all that have followed in his footsteps, he made a choice to go and pick up the phone. And that changed everything. You know, and then, of course, his sanity returned and he thanked God. And I know for me, as a compulsive overeater, every time I have stopped and had a choice between picking up that food item, that binge food item, that red light food, or picking up the phone and calling a fellow, and I have called the fellow, it's been an amazing gift from my higher power. You know, and then to be able to, you know, as fate would have it, to be able to be paired up with Dr. Bob, who was at that crossroads of knowing that he needed help, but seeing no way out. And boy, do I remember that feeling too. I knew I needed help. I knew I was in bad shape, but I couldn't see my solution. And even when I came to the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous, and if I didn't, since I didn't really see recovery, I wasn't still convinced that there was a way out. And I didn't know the depths of this solution, because I wasn't immersed in the big book and hearing exactly what my dilemma is without knowing the fact that I have a physical allergy and a mental obsession. But once learning those things, it's changed my life. But in this particular case, you know, there was Dr. Bob again, and knowing that no amount of willpower could stop for long. And yet I tried willpower, I tried diets, I tried all kinds of weight loss schemes. None of those worked. I knew I needed something beyond that, and so did Dr. Bob. And then that part about worrying what other people would think, you know, as if people didn't know, oh boy, I thought I was pretending so well. You know, I had such a plastic face when I was out in the world. But of course, I only, you know, ate people. But people knew. I mean, I wore it. I wore the pounds.
Just a reminder.
Thank you very much, Elaine. And I'll just finish by saying, at the end, you know, Dr. Bob had to ask himself, was he willing to go to any length? Was he willing to finally surrender? And thankfully, we know the rest of the story, or else we'll learn it if we don't know it yet. But thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny L.C. Who would like to comment on what we read today?
Marita P.
Roz G.
Janice B.
Okay, the very first person I miss, I got to read a PD, Roz G, and Janice B. So there was one
Marin.
Other person up there. Marin?
Marin. Yeah.
Hi, Marin.
Yeah,
Marin. Okay. Anybody else? Okay, let's start with that. Marin, may I have the first initial of your last name, and Dorita P will be right after you.
Marin K.
Thank you. Please go ahead.
You want me to start sharing?
Yes, please.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I love this because I relate to it on two levels. One level is Bill, who had to work with others in order to stay sober, because with abstinence, we have to work with others. Otherwise, we stand at risk for going back to our disease. I'm an anorexic, bulimic, compulsive overeater. I'm a 60-pound anorexic and a 10-time-a-day bulimic, and I've been abstinent 23 years. And I know that I would have died absolutely without the program. I was very close to death. And I know that I have to work with others, and I need to work with people who I identify with, especially anorexics and bulimics, because it's a very, like obesity, it will kill you. And this is a disease that is fatal. And I also relate to it on the other side, which is that the other guy did not want other people to find out about it. He didn't believe he could stop. He didn't want anyone to know. When I was using and bulimic and anorexic, I was working and I was in the industry and I was making movies. And I was hoping that no one knew what I was up to, but I was 80 pounds. I was purging. I was doing other things. And I really didn't want to stop until I almost died. And I'm grateful that there was Overeaters Anonymous and people that reached out and helped me, along with outside help, that I got better. And I'm still in process of recovery. I'm not recovered. But the big book for me is like a Bible. So I'm grateful we're reading this. And, people do die if they don't get the message. I mean, and I think that's all I want to share, but thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much. Dorita P., you're up next, followed by Roz G.
Thank you, Elaine. My name is Dorita P. from Cleveland. I'm a compulsive overeater. I just want to comment on, Dr. Bob, he had a desperate desire to stop but saw no way out, for he had earnestly tried many avenues of escape. Yes. I was desperate. I was almost 300 pounds, and I was gaining weight. I wasn't losing weight. And at one point, I was suicidal, I guess years prior to that, but I was becoming suicidal again. I was just so desperate and so depressed. I cursed God for waking me up, I was just hoping, just let me die in my sleep. And for me, I had to be that desperate. And I really believe that it takes a desperate person to work this program, because I think if you're not because I would think, well, maybe, I just have this little problem. I just have this little food problem, and I'll be okay. And even so, before that, before I became desperate, I used to look around me, and I didn't have friends. I had eating buddies, and they were always bigger than me. So I could look at them and say, if I get that big, I'll do something about it. But I'm just really grateful that I was desperate enough to do whatever my sponsor told me to do. If she had told me to stand on my head 3 times a day, I would have tried. So, and I just want to share, a newcomer called me. Well, not a newcomer. Yeah, I guess a newcomer called me. She was calling to find out about the program. And she said she would come to the meeting. She would be at the meeting. She would get a ride to the meeting. She doesn't drive. And I said, well, if you can't get a ride, I'll give you a ride. And so she never called. So I assumed she had a ride and would be there, but she didn't show up. And I shared a little bit of my story with her, and she said she needed to lose 100 pounds. But apparently, maybe I'll see her next week. I don't know. But maybe she's just not desperate enough yet. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you, Dorita P. You too. And Roz G., you're up next, followed by Janice B. Star 1 to unmute, please, Roz. I thought I heard Roz G in there. Perhaps I didn't. Janice D, why don't you go ahead and then we'll come back and see if Roz is there, okay?
Thank you, moderator. Good morning, visionaries. This is Janice B., recovering compulsive overeater in Vermont. And grateful to be here and grateful to be opening my mouth. What jumped out at me here was Bill started thinking about his responsibilities. He stopped thinking about himself and he started thinking about others. and his sanity returned. And thinking about myself, has always, self-centeredness has always, it's not a happy place to be thinking about myself, because as I look back on my life, it's that self-centeredness and the bondage of self that got me where I landed, and that was totally disconnected from other people, feeling lonely and isolated. And so how do you go from that self-centeredness to the spiritual experience? He says he conceded it was absolutely necessary. So what I saw here when I read that first paragraph on 155 was Dr. Bob was a skeptic, and I identified with that. That's me. I'm a skeptic. So my reaction to the program was, I don't think so. I think I know everything, I was disbelieving, and I stayed a lot of years in program like that, and I had to go through lots more pain to be able to see the truth that I really am powerless, and my life really is unmanageable. I have not managed well. So it gets down to a choice. The first choice was, like Bill, do I walk into that bar, or do I think of others? And it's not just about food. It's about all the choices. Do I act the way I've always acted, or can I step back far enough to realize that how I've always acted through unearthing this in step four has led me to this place of fear, doubt, and insecurity, and restless, irritable, and discontentness with my life.
Gentle reminder.
Okay. All right. So it's always a choice, and it's not, you know, it moves from food to your actions, to my actions. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Janice B. Roz G., are you there and available to share? Okay. We are on page 154, the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're starting with the fourth paragraph that begins, but what about his responsibilities? And we're reading three paragraphs, commenting on all three, ending with, he would do anything he said but that. Who would like to comment on those paragraphs today? Star one to unmute.
This is Charlene.
Charlene.
Charlene G.
Thank you, Charlene.
Jamie F.
Jamie F.
Catherine N. Lisa J. R.
Sherry
K. B.
Ashley P.
Sherry K. B. and Ashley P. That'll do it. Thank you. Ashley P. Okay. So we're going to start out with Charlene G., followed by Jenny F. Please go ahead, Charlene.
Hi, this is Charlene G. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Charlene G. from Idaho, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. I cannot believe what I can share with you today about my path and what it looks like today. I was one of those who came into the meeting years ago and didn't get it, but I knew there was something special about this book. And like many people, the paradigm shift happened once I had someone in whom the problem had been solved take me through the book. And I think it's interesting to see the timetable for what Bill is able to do at this point of his recovery. And I after I had a lot of relapses, and it wasn't until I realized that I needed to be more effective in my building my spiritual experience, my spiritual life, and becoming more spiritually fit, that the recovery happened, and the learning to build my daily practice of such things as my morning meditation and my 10 steps and my 11 steps and especially my 12 steps. And today, I really liked what we heard, but what about his responsibilities? I've always had a skewed motivation of doing things. You know, I wanted the strokes. I wanted the benefits of, you know, brownie points, what have you. And today, my heart has changed, and that's because of recovery. I realized after going through the steps and getting abstinent for finally 13, 14 months ago, that I needed to really work on the emotional sobriety. And that is happening. The defects are being replaced with a changed heart, a changed mind, only because of God. I have a desire to carry the message. I have amazing desire to help somebody who is suffering, because I know what it's like to not know there's a solution. And I can't imagine when I walk around and I see people that are suffering, they have to be suffering. I assume they're suffering. That there is a solution. And I just feel like I just want to shout it from the rooftops. I want to carry the message. And I have been so fortunate to be a set of hands that has helped bring an OA meeting to my town. There was not one meeting, and we are doing a big book study. And the newcomers that are coming, and my ability to open my schedule, my calendar, to be selfless, that is so not me. I'm just grateful that God has the ability to let me serve in that capacity, and I feel qualified. I'm enough, and I have enough to carry that message, and I'm so grateful that Bill looked to that directory, and I am doing the very same thing. I'm so grateful. Thank you so much for all of your service today and Team Friday. And with this, I pass.
Thank you, Charlene G. Jamie F., you're up next, followed by Catherine N.
Hi, good morning, afternoon. It's Jamie F. in Philadelphia. Thank you for what everybody shared. I just wanted to touch briefly on the fear of people knowing, and that's something that I could relate to a lot. I think for a very long time, I held on to this secret that I didn't want anybody to know what my eating behaviors were because it's unbelievably shameful. I didn't want anybody ever to see me in the act of total loss of control, you know, almost like animal behavior, just completely, nobody would ever love me or care for me, or they would lock me away or think I'm a horrible person, unworthy, if they knew what I did. And the interesting thing about it is that the main people I didn't want to know were my family, and they also have the disease, and they also do it. So it's a really scary kind of secret that is held and bound by shame. A lot of my family members have this disease that manifests in different ways, but there's a sort of secret element to all of it. And I think a really important turning point for me was being able to let go of the secret and admit that this is who I am. Of course, that doesn't make me a bad person or a shameful person, but this is what I suffer from. And that, I think, then gave, now I realize, I think I have the responsibility, part of my responsibility is to be truthful, is to be honest. And for me, first of all, the honesty is about who I am and what I do, what these quote-unquote shameful behaviors were. And that's where I can really resonate with the absolute fear of being found out, and also the amount of, like, building walls and protection that goes into the secrecy of it. So that's all I wanted to touch on. Thank you so much, and I pass.
Thank you, Jamie S. Yes. Catherine N., you're up next, followed by Lisa R. No, Lisa J., I think. Catherine?
Hi.
Catherine?
Yeah, hi. This is Catherine N. from Georgia. This is actually my first time on the live meeting, and I'm very grateful to be here. I've listened to a few of the recorded calls, and after the reading of the last paragraph, the call cuts off. So there's no, like, I couldn't hear number exchanges or whatever. So, but I'm glad to be here right now. And, you know, I could definitely relate to this, these paragraphs. And I think what stepped, jumped out at me, how Dr. Bob was nearing the nadir of alcoholic despair. And, you know, that's exactly where I was. Physically, emotionally, and definitely spiritually. You know, I had no idea that a higher power was working in my life. I had no gratitude for all the gifts I'd been given. I just, you know, was kind of in a lot of self-pity about my plight, you know, poor me. I did realize I was abnormal somehow, but I didn't really know what to do. You know, everything I tried hadn't worked. So I just, you know, when I walked into a meeting, and actually it was many years ago in Philadelphia, it was called the 12 Messages of Hope. And I just felt immediately at home, and just had such hope that there was a solution and that I could recover from this disease. And it's been, you know, I've had the ups and downs of, you know, abstinence, and I know it's all about taking action and improving my relationship with my higher power. So I don't know if I said, I'm a compulsive overeater in recovery. And thank you. And I hope I can get some numbers because I'm desperate for a sponsor. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Catherine Ann. Definitely stay on the line, and we're glad that you're here. Lisa J., you're up next, followed by Sherry K.B.
Hi, everybody. This is Lisa J.R. from Baltimore, Maryland, and thank you so much for your service. And I often don't get a chance to share on meetings, but I'm going to be able to put my name out there for sponsorship. I was in that unique position that all my sponsees flew the coop at the same time, graduated on, but I really... I'm so grateful that Bill Wilson, he went to that phone directory because I wouldn't be here today and I wouldn't be recovered. I wouldn't be able to say I'm recovered just for today by God's grace. There was a lot of hiding. I hid. My life became so small and so dark and so hopeless until I came into the rooms. It was grasping at straws, desperation, the four horsemen, you know, just a horrible way to live. And I'm sure everyone can relate to that. But, you know, being able to share the message with another compulsive overeater has changed my life and given me hope and given me a future, to be honest. I'm able now to go into starting to look towards my retirement, that what am I going to do with myself that's useful? And God has given me the answer in this book, and this chapter is just like a tonic to me, and I'm so grateful for all of you being there. And I just wanted to share how thankful I am because, you know, I have a choice. Every morning I have to pray for willingness to turn to doing the work instead of the gaiety of the bar, and I'm just so grateful. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Lisa J.R. Sherry K.B., you're up next, followed by Ashley P.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everybody. This is Sherry KB in Northern California. Grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks for your service, Elaine, and everybody on the line. Welcome. Welcome, newcomers. I'm just going to jump right in here. You know, the previous paragraph that we read was before when Bill was going to, he thought about, you know, drinking. And then all of a sudden in this paragraph we read, it says, but what about his responsibilities? And what I just would like to say is that, you know, that last paragraph was that first thought is what kicked in the insanity. And the insanity was the mental twist that kicked in. But then, you know, thank God that God intervened and, you know, Bill thought about what about my responsibility. And, you know, that's what helps me so much is when I think about what is my responsibility, you know, I am responsible for helping other people out of this disease. That's what I do honestly feel. And because here he says his insanity returned and he thanked God. And to me, that means that I turn my thoughts to God and help someone else and be useful to somebody else. And my sanity returns and I stay recovered. And that's really important to me. And that's kind of the side of Bill's story. And then we're getting into Dr. Bob here. And, you know, what really struck me is when he said he earnestly tried many avenues of escape. I've got a note over here on the side for myself. It says, how many avenues of escape did you try, Sherry? How many avenues did you try except for either I did work some of the steps but not all the steps. I never completed the steps until I got into doing this work this way in this book. And so I was trying everything to escape but to get recovered, obviously, because I could tell you just thing after thing after thing about all the things I tried to escape this disease with, thinking I could do it by myself, and then being painfully aware of being somehow that I was abnormal, and I didn't fully realize my compulsive overeating. And so what's so beautiful about it is that when we read in the doctor's opinion, it describes exactly what my twofold illness is. And so I didn't know that it wasn't my fault. I didn't know that, you know, I had a twofold illness. And now I have that information, and with my higher power's help, I can change my life. And then it says here about a spiritual experience he conceded was absolutely necessary. So to me, that absolutely necessary is for me to work the steps, get recovered, and live in 10, 11, and 12. And to me, that is the spiritual experience that I must absolutely do. Otherwise, I will not stay recovered, and I'll be face down in the food again. And I love working with others and helping others. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Ashley P., please go ahead.
Hi, this is Ashley P., recovered in Northern California. Can I be heard?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for everyone being on the line today. And Elaine, thank you for your service. I don't really know that I have a ton more to say about these paragraphs. I'm listening to my fellows and who are doing such a great job of unpacking these paragraphs. So I think just to sort of reiterate what some other people have said, that I didn't come into this program to be helpful to other people. I came into this program because I wanted to stop binging. First and foremost, and then sort of down the line, I wanted to stop restricting and over-exercising, and I wanted my brain to not be full of just thoughts of what can I eat, how much can I eat, and then what do I have to do to make sure that I'm not going to gain any weight. I just needed more headspace. But what I'm constantly amazed at about a year and a half later is that, A, that I am helpful to other people. I think the thing that hurt more so than anything in my life in addiction is that that feeling of uselessness and self-pity. And so to me, what these paragraphs are talking about is the beginnings of thinking about other people and how that habit is formed, because it certainly, it doesn't just, you know, develop out of thin air. So, you know, Bill goes, the mental twist comes back. Bill walks into a bar. He's about to engage, which is risky enough behavior. And then he's about to engage in even riskier behavior by just trying some ginger ale, which quickly becomes a thought to maybe I can have a few drinks. And the miracle is that he walks out of that bar and into a new life of helping other people. So how does that happen? And it's because he thinks about telling somebody what's going on, phoning a clergyman, his sanity return, and he thanked God. So, you know, he's basically saying my life is unmanageable and takes step two and three, coming to believe that a power greater than himself can restore him to sanity, and then turning to that power and then turning to help somebody else. So it's constantly about service to others. But if that doesn't feel like the natural thing to do at first, that's okay. This program is about acting as if at first. And so
gentle reminder.
Okay, thank you. You begin to do things that seem, you know, difficult in the beginning, and then they become habitual. So I'm really grateful to that kind of guidance about what to do, because now it is habitual, but it certainly wasn't in the beginning. And with that, I pass and hope everybody has a beautiful day.
Thank you, Ashley P. We have time for about two or three more shares.
Charles
Reggie O.
Joanne B.
And Joanne.
Millie D.
Oh, I'm sorry, Millie. We don't have time for you. Joanne.
Okay.
Oh, let's see. It was Charles H., Joanne B., and there was one more just before Millie. Who was that again?
Reggie O.
Thank you very much. And if you can go just a little under 3 minutes, we'll fit all three of you in. Charles H., please go ahead.
Thank you very much for your service. Charles H., a recovered compulsive overeater. This has become the basis of a rapidly growing fellowship. Every day, my mindset is that I'm on thin ice. Whether the food is down or whether life is going on, every day I'm on thin ice. And thank God for that phone booth, and thank God for Roland Hazard showing up for Ebby. And thank God for Ebby showing up for Bill, and Bill showing up for Bob. Because this vision for you was the last chapter written before the book was published. It's an overview of what it was like, what happened, and what it could be like. So I need to ask myself, if this fellowship is not growing 80-something years later, do I have that thin ice mindset that I need to carry this message to another sick and suffering compulsive overeater? That's the mindset I got to have every day. And on Monday, hopefully, or Tuesday, we'll find out that this man that was hopeless, that was at the nadir of his, in winding down, that was at the nadir of his addiction, one morning he took the bull by the horns, and then he came home at midnight exhausted. But it was worth it, because in his career, he helped 5,000 alcoholics without charge. And that's just amazing. And I just love this chapter. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Charles. Leaving room for 3 minute shares each for Joanne B. and Reggie O. Please go ahead, Joanne.
This is Joanne B. from Texas. I'm a compulsive overeater in recovery. And it's just so beautiful how the principles of this book comes to life for me every single day. And listening to the fellows and today has been so helpful. And I was thinking, what can I say today? Is there anything that I can say? And so many times I just want to listen and kind of bask in the wisdom that I hear But as people are talking, I'm realizing I can identify with this reading because this past week I got to go for the first time since I've been in OA. I got to go visit my family. And at first, you know, I was so scared. I didn't know what was going to happen. Would I fall into my different behaviors, et cetera? And I did my precautionary things and went. And it was such a beautiful visit, and I got to see so many promises of Step 10 coming out. And there were times, though, my sponsee graduated, and I decided to wait before putting my name out again. And the struggle of not, you know, being caught up in my grandchildren and in my children and just loving them and for the first time being in really present with them, I still saw. I started beginning to see the struggle having with this, and I thought, oh no, am I falling? Am I losing abstinence, you know? And then it dawned on me, you need to be serving. You need to be helping others. You need to get back in. Don't stop for the week. Just go do what you need to do. And that was so beautiful to see this, really this part of the reading open up to me. And again, to be my higher power giving me confirmation that I'm exactly where I need to be. And I just thank everyone for serving just by sharing and coming on the call, and thank all those who served in each day's program to keep our meeting going. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Joanne B. Reggie O., please go ahead.
Oh, thanks. Good morning, Elaine B. Thank you so much for your service and everyone. This is really so powerful. You know, I can relate to both Bill and Dr. Bob. I've been both of them more than once. And but you know what I'm thinking, right? What it really brings me to is my deep gratitude for the for whoever was Bill in the Vision for You meeting, and the people who came and followed after that. Because, you know, the vision it is continually changing my life, and I've done lots of OA before, in and out, and but you know what strikes me is just like so Bill had this turning point, which fortunately for all of us, he turned, you know, in the direction of God and recovery, and that one person that he talked to that actually saved him. That one person went on to work with thousands of people who all went on to work with other people. And, you know, it's like, so when I go out and help someone, it helps me. First and foremost, it helps me. You know, when I make that turn to be of service, then my consciousness is turned and my heart is turned and I'm in a much better place. And that person that I help could help many, family, community, other compulsive overeaters who in turn help other family and compulsive overeaters, you know, and it just was really striking to me this morning to notice that multiplier effect of one person helping another with a message and the experience behind that message to convey, you know, the actual truth and power of it. So I'm ever, ever grateful, and I will pass with that.
Thank you very much, Reggie O. There's just a moment or two left, so I'm just going to take a minute for a couple quick comments on this. You know, Bill W. was being tempted. You know, everything was beginning to sound more and more appealing, and I love how somebody attacked a progression of that to the point where he came, well, just maybe three drinks and no more. But, you know, he realized he had divine intervention right there with the thought, well, what about my responsibility, my families, and all those that I could help? Divine intervention that led him to a phone booth, that led him to a phone directory, that led him to a person to call, that person that had just the right connection with Dr. Bob. And the two of them began this teamwork together, a fellowship which I crave today. This is the community I crave, to be on the line with you people discussing the solution, offering hope to many, and learning how to do it better day by day, one day at a time, shoulder to shoulder. So happy to trudge this road with each of you. And thank you to everybody who shared today. It's a fabulous meeting.
We'll now transition by reading from the Big Book on page 164. Will Janice B. please read a vision for you?
Yes, thank you. Hi, this is Janice B., recovering compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you